Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading to us today. The Apostle Paul is continuing his teaching ministry to these Galatian believers concerning the law and the gospel. This is been the thrust of his message here in this chapter. He knows how important it is for believers to have a clear grasp of the gospel, because our flesh always wants to contribute something to our salvation. And that is surely before we're converted, but also after we're converted as well. We always, by nature, by this flesh, by the makeup of our personalities and our attitudes, we always want to be helping God out. Such is the pride of man. And so the apostle knows how important it is to have a clear grasp of the gospel. He also knows that there will be plenty of legalists like these troublemakers in Galatia who will always be on hand to tell us what we need to do, how we need to live, and what, according to their particular partialities and preferences, God expects of us if we are to please him and live for him. Paul knew that these gainsayers would be prevalent in every age, not least in our own day. So, in order to supply the Galatian churches with sound doctrine for their greater spiritual help, and also to provide effective ammunition against the legalists who sought to impose law duties on them, on these Galatians, the apostle here sets out the sure and certain grounds of a believer's justification and acceptance with God. He shows them, and he shows us, that justification for a sinner cannot be obtained by our obedience to the law. Now, let me just say that this casts no shade on the law. We're not opposed to the law. We're not antinomians against the law in the sense that we disparage it, we disdain it, we rebuke it. We're not against God's law if it is used lawfully. We recognize its value, we recognize its importance, we recognize that it is holy, just and good, and it reflects the perfections of our holy God. But what we are doing is we are reiterating what the Apostle Paul says when he pointed out to us last week in the previous couple of verses. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law, you see, and here's a thing, because some people say, oh yeah, you're talking about justification, but we're talking about sanctification. I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about purity. I'm talking about service. These are what are encapsulated, included in this work of justification. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There is no righteousness in the law. He shows us rather. That a sinner's acceptance with God is wholly Christ's work. Now, that's wholly with a W. It is wholly Christ's work to make a sinner righteous and holy in the sight of God. That's holy with an H. Legalism robs spiritual men and women of comfort and confidence in Christ. While the gospel, on the other hand, supplies comfort and confidence by bringing us to our fit and able and successful Saviour, the gospel lifts up Christ in the heart and in the estimation of his people. So now the apostle is going to open another thought for us with respect to the justifying work of the Lord Jesus, in order to show us how thorough and complete Christ's death is to save and to provide for all our needs in this life. He has just remarked that through the law, he, Paul, is dead to the law. Now, what was true for the apostle was true also for the Galatians. And this is what he wanted to convey to the Galatians, what he wanted to teach them, that they had no need to be listening to these troublemakers, these Judaizers, these legalists. They had no need to be giving them a hearing at all. What was true for the apostle was true for the Galatians, and it's true for all believers. It's true for you and for me. The law demands death for sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, the law demands death for sin. But after it has that death, it's satisfied. And it retires fulfilled and placated. Now, according to the law, God must find us guilty as sinners, sentence us as sinners, and exact the due punishment. Only then will holiness be served and justice satisfied. Only then will the law withdraw. But because Christ took our guilt, because he received our sentence, bore our punishment, died in our place, it means that the law has no more claim on us, and indeed it considers us dead. Through the law, or legally, we are dead to the law, because it's done with us, and we are done with it. And yet, says Paul, we're not dead. We live because Christ died in our place as our substitute. He died that we might live. And all for whom Christ died do indeed live and are quickened spiritually and made new creatures with a cleansed soul and a renewed heart and Holy Spirit affections. Having died with Christ, we live unto God in the new man, in the new creation. What Peter calls the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. Now, Paul explains to the Galatians and to us how this dying to the law and living to God is to be understood. And I think this is a truly blessed doctrine. I think this is the heart of the gospel. He says, I am crucified with Christ. And here we see the close union that we have with the Lord Jesus in the covenant of grace and peace. This is the true meaning of sanctification and being placed in Christ representatively in God's everlasting counsels. It is being set apart in Christ so that all of the blessings, all of the grace, all of the goodness, all of the mercies of the covenant God flow to us as this set apart people, chosen of God, as members of Christ's mystical body, the whole church, the whole number of the elect of God was represented by Christ in his death. And when he died, we died. When he suffered for us. What he endured was reckoned to have been endured by us, so that the law has no more interest in us, and God's wrath against our sin is totally propitiated, satisfied, and gone. We are pardoned, and our sins are atoned for. We are reconciled to God, and he is reconciled to us. So that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he did so as what we call our federal head. He did so representatively. And that means that what he suffered and endured, we are reckoned to have suffered and endured in him. What he accomplished and secured, we are reckoned to have shared in with him. And furthermore, this is not restricted to his death. We are also said to be buried with him by baptism into his death. Romans chapter 6 verse 3. We have died with him, we are buried with him, we are risen with him to newness of life. Colossians 2 and 12. We are made to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 6. This is our union. This is the closeness of the union that we have with Christ and he with us. He is the head, we are the body, and we are so bound together, so fixed together, that we are conceived as one. In Christ's entrance into heaven, he entered as our forerunner to appear in the presence of God for us. And in all of Christ's covenant offices, he acts as this public head, this representative of his church and his people and his bride. And the elect, having been placed into his keeping in the covenant of grace, are always under his charge and under his care. And then the apostle goes on to say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. As Christ lives in resurrection life, so we too possess the new life of Christ. Right now we have that new life. These bodies are flesh and they must die and they will die. And we've been thinking about the frailties of these bodies. We're going to be praying about the frailties of these bodies, their vulnerabilities in a few moments. But these bodies are flesh and they will die. But the soul lives on. And the effect of our spiritual regeneration by the Holy Ghost is that we have the life of Christ living in us as completely new creations. Christ lives in us. Now that, it may be hard to conceive and difficult to explain, and it may sound like nonsense to those without spiritual understanding, but this is what is meant by our conversion. Conversion is not just a change of mind or will. It's a transformation of spirit when the Lord Jesus comes into our life and makes us a new creature. Not in the flesh, it goes to the grave, but in the spirit, so that we can say with Paul, Christ liveth in me. And I want to say something else here as well. These Galatians were being troubled by Judaizers and legalists who told them the law was to be their rule of life and their standard of measurement in pleasing God. But that's exactly what Paul is contradicting here. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He doesn't say, I live by the rule of the law. He says, I live it. This is his sanctification, if you want to use that word. This is his living in this world. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And this is what the prophets and this is what the apostles meant when they repeatedly stated, the just shall live by faith. We don't live by our faith, as though our faith is meritorious before God. As if God says, thank you for believing in me, or thank you for trusting in me. That's what free willers would have us imagine. But it's the faith of Christ we live by, and walk by, and serve by, and measure our lives by, and honour and praise and worship God by. There is no good thing in us that is not placed there by God. And there is no joy and there is no happiness but what is enjoyed by faith in him. You will never have joy in trying to measure your life by the rule of the law. Never. You will always fall short. You will always feel inadequate. But it's looking to Christ for everything and seeing him as our all in all, trusting him for the perfection that he brings and gives and bestows and blesses us with. So I say again, brothers and sisters, for the sake of your happiness, for the sake of your joy in this life, don't look to yourself. Look to the Lord, look to Christ, don't look to your obedience, don't look to your successes, your failures. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ in all of these things. Don't measure yourself by some standard that someone else tries to impose on you. Christ has accomplished everything that we need, and he gives us the privilege of enjoying its blessings by faith in him. He has done everything for us that is required of us, and he gives it freely to us to be enjoyed by faith. And let's note this. The faith by which we live is the faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus Christ, but Christ's faith in us. Just as it is Christ's life in us, Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And so it can rightly be said to be his faith in us. Even our faith is Christ's gift to us. There's nothing in this flesh that we can bring to God, but everything is given to us by God in Christ. And so we are said to be heirs and joint heirs together with him in all things. Our beloved, the Son of God, loves us and gave himself for us. Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us, who loved me and gave himself for me. It was love that motivated the whole covenant purpose of God. Eternal, everlasting love. It motivated the plan of grace. It brought our Saviour down to die. And now we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he justified us. We love him because he sanctified us. We love him because he died for us. But we love him because he first loved us. We cannot in this life comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of that love, or truly know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. But we shall have an eternity to discover what it means and the degrees and the ends to which it extends. And I just want to finish on this thought. Some of us are coming close to death. We're older and frailer than we once were. In a little while, soon, we'll be embarking on the most unimaginably wonderful experience of eternal happiness and revelation that God has prepared for us. If you can say, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, you have peace now, and you have nothing to fear in what lies ahead. So until then, so long as this life lasts, let us not frustrate the grace of God by looking anywhere else except to the Lord Jesus Christ for all our righteousness, all our acceptance, all our holiness, our perfection, our joy. Soon we will lay these bodies down to rest. But Christ's life in us and our new life in him will go on and on and on and on. And that's a fine thought upon which to finish today. Amen.